Welcome to Intentionality with Paul Kempf, the podcast and YouTube channel where we explore the possibilities and opportunities that can be created by a more intentional life. If you like what you hear, what you see, please subscribe, please follow, please share on social media so we can reach more people and impact more lives. My production team told me after the recording of the previous few episodes, I frown too much. I don't smile enough. I look too serious. So I'm really going to try harder this time. I promise it's not intentional, but I will be more intentional about trying to frown less, trying to look less serious. So let's see how this goes. So today on the famous blue couch, I have a very special guest. He's a special guest because this guest is very personal to me, very close to me. More about that later. We're going to try and do something slightly different with an interview today. Normally with my guests on the couch, I ask a lot of questions and they give answers. Yes, I am going to still ask a few questions, but I want to ask less questions today because I really want us today to hear the story that my guest has to tell us. Because I really believe this is an interesting story, not just an interesting story, an inspirational story, an impactful story. So I'm going to try and say less in this episode and allow my guest to say more. This story is a compelling life story, and it's a story about choices and about the role that choices, good and bad, can play in shaping your life and how intentional choices can play a huge role in the direction your life takes. And that's also why my guest and I have decided to call today's episode Intentional Choices. So let me then welcome as my next guest on IWPK on the famous blue couch, DJ Pinar. Welcome, DJ.
Thank you so much, Paul. Thank you for the privilege and honor to share the blue couch with you, the famous blue couch. And I'm excited for this, and I've been waiting for this a while to share my story and to let people and the world know what it's about.
Excellent. I can't wait. But before we get to your story, you don't look nervous. How do you do that?
Well, a part of my story is that I had to face a lot of people, and, you know, as without being able to plan, or it's about sharing the story on the spot is what's making you stronger. And you will, yeah, when you understand my story, you will understand that this is not something that I can prepare for. It's something that's from my heart.
Yeah.
And I have to be able to tell it whenever, wherever, with everything in me.
Love it. I did say that you being here today is very personal to me, that you're very close to me. I think it's good if we share with the audience, with the listeners and the viewers, why we are so close. It's because I think the one person that connects us is somebody that is very close to both of us. Your sister, my wife. You are my brother-in-law.
Yes.
But yes, you are not just my brother-in-law. I've not just known you for 19 years. Over the last 19 years, we've become very close. We've become friends. My brother from another mother.
100%. Just on that, not just friends. It's very important. A big part of my story is having a mentor. And, you know, it's been a privilege to follow your footstep and see how you've been growing since I've known you. And it's like guiding me and just knowing that if I can follow in half of what you do, my life will also be a success.
Yeah, thank you for those kind words. I think you're one of my biggest fans on Intentionality with
people. Definitely.
Love it. All right, DJ, as I said, I'm not going to ask you a lot of questions today. I really want us to spend most of this episode just listening to your life story, because I believe it's an inspirational story. I believe it's a story that can have an impact on people's lives. So I'm just really going to start off by asking you to tell us your story.
Thank you, Paul. First, I want to mention that I'm going to have some hiccups when it comes to English. Just know that. I'm not the best English-speaking person, and even though my sister gives me a lot of trouble about my tenses and my pronunciation, bear with me. It's to get the story out there as true and as authentic as it is. So the nice thing for me is about the topic of this episode, intentional choices. So my story started by making unintentionally wrong choices a big part of my life. And I cannot base that on having not the best opportunities, because I had opportunities. I was always seen as a talented person, having opportunities. And, you know, everybody always looked at me and say, you're going to make something of your life. I remember people always saying, you're going to be the best lawyer and, you know, you can be a CEO of a company. And by making constant wrong choices, not because of anyone else but myself, it ended up in putting me in a situation where I don't wish for my worst enemy to be in. I am a recovering drug addict. To be honest, one of the worst that I've known is myself. I hit a rock bottom that I cannot see myself hit again. And one of the things that's kept me going is the fact that I don't think I can do this over again. I've been clean between 5 and 6 years now. I've done a program. And since the day I've made the intentional choice to change, my life has been so much better. I have family again. I have a life again. And this time, my life of purpose. It started off just after school. You know, it started off with using recreational drugs, drinking a little bit too much, smoking some weed, thinking it's fine. And it's a big problem with what the picture is. And nowadays, people see that as fine until it takes over everything, until it overconsumes you, until your whole life depends on what fix next and how you're going to get that. I ended up in, you know, losing everyone and everything that is important that's important for me. After losing my parents, only having my sister and Paul left, even getting them to a point that they didn't want to have anything to do with me. So it ended up where I ended up in jail a few times. The last time for almost 7 months. Sitting there in a place like that, having a phone in my hands every day, having no one to phone. And I asked myself, is this where my life is going to end? Is this what my life got to? Is this the best? Is this just what people going to remember me for? You know, and I wonder if there's going to be that hand of grace. Am I ever going to have a chance again? You know, and funny enough, it's how things change of what you want in life. You know, how I longed for just a honest conversation with my sister, showing her and telling her I'm sorry for what I've done. I know with my parents passed away by then, even she had no one else. And as time went on, I remembered of what I will do for that second chance or that last chance. Doesn't matter how you look at it. So somehow, some way, I think Paul played a big role. My sister scraped together what I would like to call the only chance, the last chance that I needed in life, and decided to make contact with the state social worker to do a pre-sentencing report. After everything got me out the last time on certain conditions of me willing to do a program and trying to change my life. I knew by then that I will not let this chance slip out of my hands and that I will dedicate the rest of my life in, you know, helping people, creating hope, showing them that if I can do it from where I were, that it's possible for anyone. And today I sit here, I'm a director of a health tech company, not just a normal health tech company. It's a company that focuses on helping people with issues in addiction and making sure that the right service gets to the right person and the right person gets to the right place, the right center, to make sure that they, you know, can create a better you. And the company is called Youer. And, you know, it's based on the friction points that me and my sister went through with my road of addiction, you know, how hectic it was for her to find a place that will tick all the boxes needed so that the last chance of my life will be a chance used and used for the better. Today, we are busy with creating something where we make people understand that, you know, living a life in recovery is not focusing on fixating about not doing the substance. It's actually showing them that the trick is to live a life in recovery and to make that life worth it. That will make the journey easier. That will make it and give you a reason to wake up every day. You know, Youer is a big part of me, my story, my sister's story, the story that my journey took us on, and a story that Paul is also involved in actually is the backbone of that, because if it wasn't for him convincing my sister to give your brother one more chance, and I think he knew that my sister's life without me would also not be a life that she's supposed to live. You know, and for that, I'm so grateful today, sitting here and knowing that it's been years now that I've been clean, I've never fell again, and I'm living a life where, you know, it's the person that I see in the mirror is the person that I want to see. And I need the world to know that if I could do it, anyone can. There is hope. You know, there is light at the end of the tunnel. You can be saved by darkness. And, you know, I was luckily one of those. God gave me a chance and he used people to help me. And that's Paul and my sister. And I'm so grateful for that.
Yo.
Yo, DJ. Thank you for sharing. It's as I expected, a very inspirational story. One that I really think people need to take to heart. I think you already know how terrible the stats are for people that fall into addiction, how difficult it is to get out of addiction, how difficult it is to stay on the road of recovery. And in the last five and a half years, we've walked this road with you. And I can say without a shadow of a doubt, you are standing so strong today. You will never fall back in addiction. And it is really wonderful to have you back in our lives, to have you back in Chanel's life. It's wonderful for you and me to be able to go and play golf again, to spend time together. So thank you for sharing it. I know it's an emotional story for you. It's a very personal story. It's a very vulnerable story. But I'm hoping that you sharing your story here today can find the heart of someone listening today, watching today. I'm glad you spoke about Ewer. I think it's an important part of a recovery process of helping people. So thanks for sharing. There's a few things from your story that I just want to touch on, that I just want us to go back to. The first thing that I want to talk about is the fact that you mentioned that in getting out of addiction, you found some of your salvation or saving grace in helping other people. You're not just helping people through Ewer. You do other things as well in the addiction world at the moment to help people. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about that?
So I've got an outpatient aftercare practice called Per Gratia, by grace. So since I've been in recovery, I've worked at rehabs and I'm representing, you know, Ewer that represents a lot of rehabs. It's where I go above and beyond, walking the extra mile, doing whatever it takes to help people to get to the right place, to show them that it is possible. And, you know, inside rehabs, inpatient programs, outpatient programs, and guiding the families to make sure that the right choices is made and make sure that enabling for their, from their side doesn't keep continuing. And, you know, I know that it doesn't matter at which with which program you focus on. The important thing, if you want what you have, and you need to be able to give it away. And step 12 is you have to share your story. You know, something that I live by is by the blood of the Lamb, and sharing your testimony is how you can overcome the world. And I believe the best way for me to do that is to those that have no hope, to show them through guidance and get them to the right place and show them that there's hope. And therefore, I've worked in recovery since I finished my program, and I will continue doing that forever. It's you that just takes it to a next level, what I'm very grateful for. You know, it's to show them all of us that works in recovery should have the same ideal, and that's to help people. And a part of what you does is to make sure that it happens on a transparent way, that all the people that got facilities and all the recovery centers and everyone that does this for the right reason should be able to take hands and deliver what is promised, and that's to keep people saved.
DJ, I know a secret about you, and I think that secret, well, it's not a secret, that's the wrong way of describing it. I know something about you that I think contributes to your ability to stay on the right path. It's something that I think is very important in your recovery, and that's exercise. Now, exercise is something that's very important to me as well. It's something I've spoken about in a lot of the episodes. It's something that I encourage people to do on a regular basis. What role has exercise played in your life and in your recovery story?
Well, it's such a funny thing that you mentioned that, you know, if you look at exercise in itself, it's such a small thing. And I don't know if you'll ever remember this, but about 6-7 years ago, you sent me a clip, and the clip was about a, I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, but it was a Prudential advertisement. And the clip ended up by saying that consistency is the only currency. You know, I build my recovery on non-negotiables. And my first non-negotiable is exercising. I know for sure if I stop exercising, the chances that I might smoke a cigarette or have a drink of alcohol will be so much easier. And I believe in doing things and make it simple for me. So I made this thing in my head that if I can focus on only keep on training, making sure that that's the starting point of being consistent, the rest will be automatic. So my exercise is actually showing me that consistency is key. If I can, and this overflows in everything in my life, if I can pitch, if I can be there, if I can convince myself to do things even the days that I don't want to, it will overflow into every aspect of my life and give me the strength to continue even though I don't want to. So it forms the foundation of not quitting. You know, a lot of us can and will, well, agree that it's sometimes difficult to train in the winter, and it's sometimes difficult to train after a hard day of work or waking up early. But I believe if I can keep it simple and show myself the discipline that I can do that, it will give me the ability to have discipline to do everything else. Mm.
Would it be fair to say that what you've done is you've literally taken a bad habit and replaced it with a good habit?
100%.
Because I do think that there's something to that.
100%.
It's something I've spoken about before. I think that we all have bad habits, and getting rid of bad habits is very difficult. Maybe not bad habits in the sense of addictions, but bad habits, things that we do on a regular basis. And I think the moment you start shifting towards the discipline around good habits, replacing those bad habits, the difference it can make in your life is incredible. And you're a testament to that.
100%.
Mm.
100%.
There's a question I often ask people on IWPK when they're on the couch. I think you've answered it, but I'm going to ask you the question anyway, because I want to hear if there's anything else. The name of this podcast is Intentionality with Paul Kempf. Is there anything else except for exercise that you do on a daily basis, weekly basis, monthly basis to ensure that you stay on this path of sobriety, that you keep growing, keep staying positive, keep on this path that you're on at the moment?
Definitely, Paul. So I started my story about where I mentioned of unintentionally making wrong choices. You know, I didn't grow up thinking I'm going to be the best drug addict there's going to be. You know, that's definitely not one of my, it wasn't one of my biggest dreams. And I, growing up, I don't think a lot of people, often knowing what I went through, would ever have think that that's the journey. That's what's going to happen with me. You know, I was always well-spoken and part of the right group of people growing up. But, you know, so intentionally making the right choices is what ignites everything for me. Mm. You know, again, something, and that's why I had to mention you being my mentor is, I'll never forget where me and you drove in your car and you told me, DJ, you know, something that I've learned is making small choices that leads to victory, preparing you to be equipped for the war. So it's intentionally focusing on making small right choices that gets the ball rolling in at the end of the day, equipping you for what's waiting. And that is very important, you know. Living a life with urgency, living a life with intentional, living an intentional life. Right. That's what I like about the name of your podcast, Intentionality. You know, it's so, for me, it's where purpose stems from.
Yeah.
It's where it's about. And that is what makes us waking up in the morning. That's what keeps us going when it's difficult to keep on going. So definitely, you know, for me, recovery is about accepting change. And, you know, change is difficult, but it's about making the intentional choice to change, knowing that that will get you to grow. Even though it's, you know, it's exciting in the beginning, it's messy in the middle, but the reward at the end makes it worth it.
That's awesome. I love it. Thanks for sharing, DJ. So DJ, you've watched a few episodes. You know every single episode, it's like a tradition already. We do a tip of the week. I give a recommendation. It might be a book. It might be a podcast. It might just be some good advice or a beautiful quote or inspiring quote somebody heard somewhere. And I always ask my guests if they will do a tip of the week. So I'd really like it if you can do a tip of the week for us today.
Oh, that will be nice, Paul. So I would start by saying, you know, focus on personal growth. Mm. And that happens by putting the right routines in place. And something that I've realized, Paul, you know, on a few of your episodes, it was made a matter of importance. And it's also something that's shared by most of the successful people in the world, is having a morning routine. And I've heard this from a speech that Matthew McConaughey, if I pronounce it right, Matthew.
I think it's about right.
They will know what I'm speaking about. It's a speech where he mentioned how he starts his day. And for me, I've tweaked it a bit so that it fits into my life. Mm. So he says, you know, waking up in the morning, and this is determined, it's a known fact that 90% of your day is determined about the first 10 minutes of waking up. It's how you approach your day. And he says that, you know, for him, waking up in the morning, and this is how for me, I've tweaked it, that acknowledge that you need something stronger than you and acknowledge that thing and be grateful. For me, you know, I acknowledge God in my life every day. I know that the battle that I fought is bigger than myself and I needed something stronger than me. So I acknowledge God for what he does in my life and the fact that I need him and the fact that I have him without being able to earn what he does for me. So I live under the law of grace and I appreciate it so much. The second thing is I ask myself, well, why do I do what I do? And, you know, knowing that I'm a man that wants to make an impact in a lot of people's life, and I ask myself, you know, if I must fall, how many classes have I given? How many people have I counseled? How many people I've told my story in, and my story that shouts hope will be broken when I have to fall. So I know every day that I do what I do to create hope and to make people see that it's possible to live a life with purpose. Doesn't matter where you're from, what you've done wrong. The day you make the intentional choice to change, things can change. And the third thing is, who are you chasing? So this one is two things for me. You know, Matthew would say, you know, you must chase yourself, because the closer you get to that person you want to be in 5 years, the better you want to see yourself. So you'll never be able to get to that point. So it will always push you to keep on growing. So, but by chasing yourself, it gives you a clear guidance of having a vision, knowing where do you want to be in 1 year and where do you want to see yourself in 5 years. That the second part is always having a mentor, you know. It's somebody that sometimes sees things in an objective point of view. Asking the question, I've started my recovery saying to myself, DJ, the first thing you must do is stop listening to yourself. Seek wisdom, seek counsel. You know? So you know that I've got a weekly date almost with you. I share my story. I tell you where I'm at. What is the things I'm facing and what I need to make choices about. And I make sure that, you know, I don't make impulsive, irrational decisions without consulting with you or speaking to you and ask my mentor's opinion. So I've got a vision where I want to be in a year from now that gives me the direction to fight for the person I want to be in 5 years, and that keeps me going. And then the last thing I want to share, Paul, I constantly ask myself two questions. The first question I ask myself, what do you want in life? You know, and if the more I get an answer for that, the second question is, what am I willing to pay? And if I know that, I know what I will sacrifice. Because I believe if you want something, you must be willing to sacrifice. And in my journey, I knew I had to sacrifice certain things to get to the point of where I want to be. So I ask myself, what do I want in life? And if I know what I want, it makes it easier for me to sacrifice what I need to sacrifice to get what I want. Mm. That's my tip.
Love it. I certainly think it's one of the best we've had in 38 episodes.
Thank you so much.
All right. I almost forgot there was something I wanted to ask just before we end off. Mm. I'm not going to ask you to take off your shirt. Don't worry. But I see one or two tattoos on your sleeves there. Don't you want to tell me a little bit about this this journey of yours around the tattoos? Maybe inspire me to get my first tattoo.
Yeah, I would love it when you get your first tattoo, Paul. I don't think it will completely fit this corporate image, but, you know, even if it's somewhere hidden, it will. So, Paul, funny enough, a lot of people that's been on a journey of addiction, they get all their tattoos while they're in addiction, you know? And mine was actually afterwards.
Yeah, you got your first one after.
That's it. I was, after I've beat a heroin addiction, the first thing, funny enough, that I've been completely addicted to, I got this on my arm. It's Et Algiri Vitam, and it means, you know, I choose life. And it's in Latin. And this is where I made the intentional choice. If I cannot go on like this, you know. I knew I still had to get a few things in place. But this is where the journey started. Mm. And this is what I love about our episode is, you know, I want the world to know that you have to set and be ready to make intentional choices to change, to get where you want to be in life, where you're destined to be in life. Mm. So it went on, and the serenity prayers, it's a powerful thing, accepting the things you can change, you know, have the courage to change the things you can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And it keeps me intact, Paul. It makes me think, you know, and everything on my arm, everything where you go, it's part of my story.
Every tattoo has a meaning for you.
Every tattoo has a meaning, Paul. You know, if this is patience, and I believe when you enter recovery, I've seen to see so many people, you know, the first thing you have to teach yourself is crossing the bridge of patience. You know, you expecting doing the right thing now, and the fact that you're willing to do the right things now, everything's going to fall in place. This is where you're wrong. It takes long of making the constant right choices over and over again before you start seeing the rewards. So be patient, wait, you know, sacrifice, and know that it's for the bigger, the better, and the more rewarding course.
Love it. I'm glad I asked you about the tattoos.
Thank you so much.
DJ, that was an awesome interview. I really loved your story. Thank you so much for sharing. And I certainly believe that if we can get this story heard by more people, it will have an impact on people. So I am going to ask again of our audience today, please, if you like what you heard today, share it. Share it with your friends. Share it with your family. If you have someone in addiction that needs help, I'm going to see to it that the production team puts the contact details of DJ on the social media. If you want to get hold of someone at UA, you can speak to DJ. If there's someone that you think needs help in addiction, in any type of addiction, it's really important that you reach out. There are people that can help. And it's not just DJ's story that can help people, that can inspire people. I really think that what he's building with Chanel is something that can really help people not just get out of addiction, but stay on the road of recovery. So we will share all those contact details. Please reach out if you need help or you know somebody that needs help. So that's it for this week's episode of IWPK. All that's left to do is to thank the production team for all their hard work with recording of these episodes, with the release of the episodes every week. Thank you to FFG for their continued support of this podcast and YouTube channel. I firmly believe that we are building something special, something memorable. If you want to get a hold of me, please send an email to paul@iwpk.co.za. Congratulate yourself for making the choice to live a more intentional life, to be the architect of your success, and to not just let life happen to you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching, and may the rest of your week be an amazing intentional journey.